The following is a production of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. For more information about the seminary, how you can support it, or applying to become a student, please visit www.gpts.edu. Hello and welcome to another edition of Confessing Our Hope, the podcast of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. My name is Zach Groff and I'm your host. And today we are conducting our annual new student interview. We might actually do more than one this year. I haven't decided on that yet, primarily because we have such a large incoming class, but I'm excited about the one today. Before I introduce the two new students that I'm interviewing, I do want to share some announcements from the life of the seminary with you, and a lot of this information you can find online at gpts.edu. The first bit is just want to mention again, our faculty are traveling quite a bit. Most of their travels are completed for October, but in November they may be coming to a town near you or hosting a conference or speaking at a conference that you might be interested in. You can review all of the specifics about faculty travel in our latest edition of the newsletter. It's, again, available at gpts.edu. But in brief, I know Dr. Curto is coming home from Lakeland, Florida early this week. Dr. Pipe is coming home from Buffalo, New York this week. And Dr. Shaw will be speaking in Bartlesville, Oklahoma coming up in just a few days, I think. And Dr. McGraw is coming back from Ohio. So just if nothing else, please pray for these men that the Lord would bless their ministry around the country. Dr. Shaw will also be delivering an inaugural lecture here in Greenville at Second Presbyterian Church. And you might be thinking, isn't he your senior faculty member? Hasn't he been teaching there for like 30 years? Why is he giving an inaugural lecture? Well, it's because he was recently promoted to full professor of Hebrew and Old Testament. So that inaugural lecture, again, will be at Second Presbyterian Church in Greenville on Monday, November 21st at 7 p.m. More information about that event can be found at gpts.edu. And our friends at Second Church have assured me that they will be able to live stream Dr. Shaw's lecture for us. And for that, I'm very thankful because my wife and I are planning to go back to Philadelphia and at the end of November, and we'll be gone that night. So I won't be able to be there live, but I look forward to watching it by simulcast. And gearing up for our calendar year-end appeal, I do want to share this with you. This is something that we're doing. If you appreciate this podcast and Greenville Seminary's ministry of equipping preachers, pastors, and churchmen for Christ's kingdom, I would ask you even now, this early in the game, to think about including the seminary in your year-end giving plans and be on the lookout for emails and letters in your mailbox with regards to how you can give and what your giving will be going toward. Also, it's never too early to mark your calendars for our Spring Theology Conference. It's going to be March 13th through 15th, 2018. Can you believe I'm saying 2018 already? At Woodruff Road Presbyterian Church in Simpsonville, South Carolina. We will have Michael Barrett of Puritan Reformed Seminary, G.K. Beale of Westminster, Joel Beakey, Johnny Gibson from Westminster, Ian Hamilton, Ryan McGraw, Rick Phillips, Joey Piper, and the Reverend Ryan Speck. He's our alumnus speaker. These men will be preaching and teaching on the grand theme of the person and work of Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. So if you're like me and you know who each of these men are and you're also excited about Christology, I think that you'll want to be at this conference. This promises to be a very special conference this year, and we hope that you will consider joining us in March. More information about that is being posted at gpts.edu/conference, and we'll be updating that page with relevant details. We're also going to be sending out the brochure within the coming weeks. So please register with us as soon as you can once that goes live. Now, moving on to the body and bulk of the podcast today, I wanted to introduce to you the two students that are sitting here with me. First, I have Logan Shelton, who's a first-year student originally from Jacksonville, Alabama, and he enrolled with us out of sequence this past spring. That just means that he didn't start in the fall. He started in the spring semester. Over the past 10 months or so, I've really enjoyed his friendship, and I've enjoyed getting to know him. I'm thankful that he's here, and we as a seminary are thrilled to have him on campus with us. Logan, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And the other guest student I have with us today is Isaac Overton. He's a special student originally from Australia's Deep South, the island state of Tasmania, or affectionately known as Tassie. And though he and his family currently call the city of Geelong in Victoria state home, he is, in fact, a bogan from Tasmania. He told me to say that. I don't even know what it means. But he said his friends would appreciate that. he's studying on campus with us for just a few months before he returns home to complete his degree at the Australian College of Theology and, Lord willing, enter into ministry in the land down under. Isaac, thank you so much for joining us.
It's good to be here, brother.
So, Isaac, I want to start with you because your decision seems rather remarkable. You traveled halfway around the world to just join us for a semester. Your studies aren't going to count towards your degree at the Australian College of Theology, though we have friends there, and I know they're excited that you're here too. Why did you come to Greenville this fall to supplement your theological education in Australia as you prepare for the ministry?
Yeah, Zach, just for the benefit of the listeners, so yeah, I'm studying back home at the Reformed Theological College in Melbourne. I live in Geelong. It's all under the Australian College of Theology there. And I've really been blessed and appreciated the ministry that I've experienced through the RTC back home. But as to why I wanted to supplement that with a semester here at GPTS, there's two major reasons. The first one really is there's some really unique learning opportunities that I saw here at the seminary, which I thought would be extremely beneficial for me, and that's mainly some of the courses that were offered. So if I can go just a little bit theology nerd here for a second, the seminary offered firstly a couple of units in apologetics from an explicitly presuppositional perspective, and I just got the sense overall that all the units that were offered from an explicitly presuppositional kind of perspective, which is something I'm a big fan of Cornelius Van Til and been influenced by his theology, so I really appreciate the opportunity to study apologetics, but a few other units as well. The logic unit was something that appealed to me. I'd never been trained in logic before, and so I took that unit actually by distance prior to coming here, but that was extremely beneficial. A number of other units, the opportunity to do homiletics and have another perspective and input into my development as a preacher. I really looked forward to and hoped to do the Reformed Spirituality unit, which I've been doing here this semester, which has just been a fantastic opportunity. A whole unit dedicated to learning about and seeking to develop more in godliness, in spiritual disciplines. So just a few unique opportunities like those ones and a few other ones as well. So that's one major reason. But the second one really is I got a sense from... I just had a sense of the seminary as a whole. I think of it... you don't judge a book by its cover, but sometimes I judge a book by its publisher. And you look at some publishers, and you know you're picking up a... When you pick up a Banner of Truth book, you know you're picking up good quality stuff. It's experimental. It's sound in doctrine. It will move your heart. And I just got a sense of Greenville that there's something unique here in that kind of way. And that was something that appealed to me a lot. And so, I'm very thankful that God has opened the way for me and my family to come here to Greenville. And we've been very blessed by our time here.
A lot of what you said resonates with me as well as I've gotten to know the seminary over the past couple of years, first as a distance student, but then especially as a resident student. Logan, why did you choose Greenville Seminary?
That's a good question, Zach, and it's kind of hard to answer in a short period of time because looking back, the Lord was really guiding and directing me all the way, and there were so many providences that I didn't realize were occurring then, but looking back, I see the hand of the Lord. If I were to put one thing on it or really attribute it to one thing more than anything else, it'd probably be Dr. Pipe's preaching. I came here and I visited. I got to know the faculty a little bit. I was really struck by how well I got along with them and how charitable they were in a number of things. I started listening to Dr. Pipe more, and I was just really blessed by his preaching ministry. And I remember in particular, he did a sermon on Sola Scriptura. And it was just very clear to me that he was committed to the Scriptures and that he truly loved the Scriptures. And when I was finished with that sermon, I knew that if the Lord would have me study in any seminary, it was going to be here. And I was going to learn from him, among others. I also listened to a few other sermons from faculty members. Dr. McGraw has a great sermon out there. I think he called it The Thesis of the Bible, in which he just takes his congregation through God's covenant, beginning with Adam and all the way through, and was just really blessed by that. So, you know, there was a lot of things, but if I could attribute to one more than anything else, it was the preaching ministry of those on the faculty, in particular Dr. Piper.
Well, that's what we're about, right?
Yeah.
Greenville Seminary, being a small school, is a focused school, and narrow in a good sense, and that is in our focus of training men and equipping them to be preachers. So that's good to hear that you came here, because you're confident that you'll be equipped to preach the Word of God.
Amen.
And as a new student, now shifting gears a little bit away from the curriculum, as a new student, Logan, do you feel like you've been welcomed into the student body?
Yeah, the welcoming was really quite remarkable. I used to joke with some of my family and my friends back home in that I've never eaten so much free food in my life. and it's true. I mean, I think that within the first 3 weeks of being here, I had already been in the homes of three faculty members. And that doesn't even include the student body and people in the church that were having me over also. So I had a very low food budget when I initially got here, and it's lower than people might think even still. So the welcoming has been incredibly warm. It's really been a blessing. That type of hospitality has really been blessed of the Lord. And I've developed some really close friendships and good Christian camaraderie with those on the faculty, those in the church, and, of course, the student body.
Mm. Isaac, what about you? I mean, the seminary community knew that you were only planning on being with us for a few months, and you came with a family. You have three children. You have a wife with you. How have you all adjusted to living in a new community in a different country?
Yeah, it's been a huge blessing for us, too, in our experience here. You know, even before coming, the people who we were in contact with, Mrs. Curto and a few others, were just so... they went above and beyond the call of duty to make it possible for us to come. You know, there were really a number of things that had to happen for us to be able to come. And God opened the door for those things through the service of his people here. And that was such a blessing. And coming here, you know, there's coming to a new country, it can be a bumpy ride at times. You know, after a 30-hour flight or whatever it was from Australia with three kids. And then, you know, we get out of the airport here at 11 p.m. at night, or, you know, late at night, and jump into this hired car. We have no phones because, you know, we have to buy our new phones here. And they put me in this monster truck of a Suburban, and I'm driving on the wrong side of the road at the middle of the night with no GPS. So, you know, there are teething issues when you come to America from Australia. But we settled in. We found our paces here, and everyone was just so friendly. You know, some of these people like Logan, we didn't even know people this friendly existed. So we've been very blessed to be here.
I've had to tell Isaac and his wife Liberty multiple times that Greenville, South Carolina is a wonderful place and is representative of the best that America has to offer. And if they had ended up in a different city, their experience may have been qualitatively different. So I don't say that to denigrate anywhere else, but just to sing the praises of what the Lord is doing here in this particular community, in this place, in this time.
Yeah, Zach, I actually want to jump in for a moment, because in God's providence, we do have somewhat of an anecdote while we're talking about hospitality. When Isaac and his wife Liberty moved here, they mentioned that they were big sports fans. And so this past weekend, they hosted me at their home. I had dinner with them, and then I took them to a big high school football game, American football. And so we went to a Burns versus Dorman high school football game, Friday Night Lights, and I instructed them and their three children in the ways of American football, and It was really just a good time, a great time of fellowship, and the team we were pulling for won. I won't say who it was. I don't want to alienate any of our possible listeners here, but
because I'm sure our listeners follow local high school football.
Well, good point. Actually, it was kind of funny. His wife did a little research, and the two mascots were the Rebels and the Cavaliers. And she said, the Cavaliers are a much more righteous team to pull for, so we're going to go for the Dorman Cavaliers as opposed to the Rebels. And so we did. They pulled it out.
Well, that's one sign you know Liberty's not from the American South. She prefers Cavaliers to Rebels.
I just might add one more thing there. Something that's been a real blessing to us has been plugging into a church community here at Greenville as well. Worshipping at one of the many local blessed Reformed churches has been a way for us to plug into a community and get to know some people and experience the ministry of Christ Church through that way. So that's been a huge blessing to us as well.
Part of your and Liberty's deliberations about where to go to church for just the few months that you're here, you all pretty much landed at the point of saying, you know, let's check out a bunch of these churches just to see what church life is like in America, or at least here in the Greenville community. Did you find that this sense of hospitality and warmth was common in all the churches that you visited?
Yeah, it was. People were friendly across the churches that we visited. We visited four or so churches, and we were invited back to people's homes for lunch, people who we'd never met before, and extremely friendly people, and opening their homes to us, so for sure. And we could have been very happy in any one of those churches, really, where we worshipped.
That was the most difficult decision Jocelyn and I had to make when we moved here with the family, was which of these excellent, wonderful, warm Bible preaching churches do we go to? And in God's providence, we ended up at one rather than the others, because we can't be in multiple places at one time. But they're all definitely blessed communities. Blessed of the Lord, as you all said. Now, for both of you, I guess we'll start with Logan. You're up now. What has been your favorite class so far? And you can include the classes you took last winter and spring in that.
I'd probably give an edge to Intro to Reformed Theology, which is...
And who teaches that?
That's Dr. Pipa. And it's really just kind of a fundamental course here in the seminary in which Dr. Pipa is going through the confession, Calvin's Institutes, and he's drawing and pulling from a lot of historical Reformed thought, and he's just kind of helping us to understand where the writers of the Confession were coming from, how they came to these conclusions, and it really is just a blessed class. There's a lot of conversation there. It's a very open dialogue type, and students ask a lot of questions, and it's tough to stump Dr. Pipa. We haven't seen it yet, but anyway, I would say that I'd give an edge to that one, though I would also throw in Pentateuch and Intro to Reformed Spirituality as close second.
For our listeners' benefit, if you come here as a married student like Isaac or like me, your wife can sit in on any class as an auditor, except other than the preaching classes. So my wife's sitting in on Intro to Reformed Theology this semester with Logan and the other students, and she's, you know, taking the exams, and she's memorizing all the catechism work and following along, doing all the reading just like any other student, and it's absolutely free. And so that is something that your wives, if you're listening and you're considering seminary, that your wives could benefit from as well, in addition to the ladies' fellowship. And we won't get into all the different things we have available for the families. But Isaac, what has been your favorite class so far? And Isaac also took some courses with us in the past, both by distance but also in residence over a winter term. So you can include those in your pick.
You know, that's a hard question, because every course brings something unique. And you benefit from it in a different way. I'm tempted to say logic, just because that's been such a useful unit to me. I hadn't taken a course in logic before, and I found after doing that course, and Dr. Curto will have you doing, you know, I think of it like military drills. You know, you're just going through logic exercise after logic exercise, but by the end of it, you know, I was reading books in a different way. You know, you could read a book, and some authors are more concise than others, or less concise. And, you know, sometimes you find those less concise authors. And I found myself You know, you can start looking for the proposition of a paragraph. So I just found it made me a much more efficient reader and a sharper thinker. So I really appreciated that. But I'd have to say, if I had to choose a favourite unit, I'd have to say Reformed Spirituality with Dr. McGraw. And there's many reasons for that, but if I could just give one, my experience in this unit as I've been taking it this semester has been, I've truly grown in a tangible sense of the value of prayer. I was able to study prayer, especially for my major paper in this unit, and studying it and looking in God's Word and reading some of the great stuff that's been written on prayer in the past. The Lord's just been using that to give me a real increased sense of how important prayer is. You know, we all know in our confessions and our minds how important prayer is, but often in our actions we don't feel that reality. I'll go to the prayer meeting even though I don't feel like it tonight, or I'll just pray. Our hearts might not be in it when we pray in our personal devotions, I've been finding through the things I've been learning in this unit that my heart has really been impressed with a sense of, you know, prayer is a gift of God that really, really does matter, and He calls us to prayer, and He works through prayer. And so if we're struggling with particular sins or different things, you know, we can bring those to the feet of our God, and He works through our prayers, and He gives us strength and blessings. You know, the scriptures say you have not because you ask not. And I think it's just so true. So I've, for that reason alone, you know, that's worth the trip from Australia to America.
I've heard Liberty and Isaac say that a bunch. They say, oh, this sermon was worth the trip. If this is the only reason that God brought us here, it was worth it. But back to what you were saying on prayer, it is not enough for the man of God and for the minister of the Word to have an understanding of prayer and even just an intellectual knowledge and assent to the importance of it. There must be a movement of the will to actually get down on your knees and to pray. The practice of prayer, the experiential practice of prayer, is something that is absolutely necessary for the man of God, and particularly for the minister of the Word. Right. And so I'm really glad to hear that. That's been the big takeaway so far from that class. Now, Logan, as I mentioned before, you began last spring out of sequence. And usually we get a couple guys that start in the spring or the winter. This year, we're anticipating bringing on as many as 8 or 9 new students from abroad and from the Greenville area. Has it been difficult to get settled into the pace of the program here? And what challenges did starting out of sequence present, if any?
I think probably seminary, getting accustomed to the speed of seminary and the academic challenges of it will be an adjustment for anyone. So I don't think necessarily starting out of sequence exacerbated that in any way. I am having one conflict this semester where I began Greek in the spring, and now Greek 2 is conflicting with one beginning class. So I'm actually taking that MP3.
What does that mean, to take a class MP3?
The professor will give the instruction. Because my Greek class is meeting at the same time, I'll be in Greek. I won't be there. Later on in the week, I will then listen to the recording of the lecture. I'll complete all the assignments on time, and the only thing that I'm missing is actually being there live in the class, but I'm still listening to all the lectures. So that has been the only rub so far. I didn't take classes in the spring in order to try to graduate faster in any way, so the only classes I took in the spring sort of give me a little bit of a cushion. So I, rather than graduate in 4 years flat, I'll actually graduate in 4.5 years, Lord willing, at the fastest pace, not 3.5 as some have done. So by the time I complete my classes this spring, then I will be on exactly the same trajectory as the rest of my fellow classmates who began in the fall. So maybe a few kinks to work out at the very beginning, but like I said, once I get through next spring, I'll be right on pace with all of my other classmates.
Excellent. Well, I'm glad to hear that it's been working out for you.
Yeah.
I'm taking classes part-time because I'm working here full-time. Before I was here, I worked at another Christian organization, the Coalition for Christian Outreach. Shout out. And going part-time has probably been really similar. You know, it's you run into different schedule conflicts or whatever as you're trying to line up classes every semester. It's not quite as easy to fit everything together, but I found that, you know, Mrs. Curto, our registrar, and our faculty have been very accommodating and understanding and flexible. And that's been helpful to me even before I was staff, but especially now that I am staff and have all the responsibilities on my plate that I have. Now, for both of you, I want to ask this. I know it's a long ways away at this point. When I do the upcoming graduates class of 2018 interviews later in our season, they'll be able to answer this with a lot more confidence, I hope, or a lot more visibility. But at this point, what are your plans for after you complete your formal theological education, either here or in Australia? Isaac, let's start with you.
Sure. Well, I can give you a little bit of a taste just to fill in. My degree in Australia, I'm actually in my final semester of studies in Australia at the moment, so I expect to graduate at the end of this year. And so for me, I plan to go back to Australia. I love Australia. I've always felt a strong, you know, strong love for my people there, and always had a heart for serving the body of Christ in that country. But yeah, I'm part of the Christian Reformed Churches of Australia, which I don't think I told you about that before. But no, so it's not a Presbyterian denomination; it's a denomination in the Dutch Reformed tradition. Lord willing, I'll be going back, and starting at the start of next year, I'll be doing what we call a year as a vicariate, which is basically sort of a ministry trainee under a senior minister. I'll be training for a year. And Lord willing, doing my ordination exams during the course of next year. That's a year ahead for me, and Lord willing, following that, it will be ordination and service in the church in Australia, in the Christian Reformed Churches. So I'm looking forward to what's ahead, and yeah, I hope and pray that God will be able to use my family and me serving in that way.
Amen.
Amen. What about you, Logan?
Well, I'm a little farther away than Isaac. I still have 4 years until I graduate, but I think that the Lord is calling me toward pastoral ministry. And so I'm moving forward with that mindset. And if the Lord changes course somewhere between now and then, you know, I will I'll follow him and seek to do what it is that to which he's called me. But at this point in time, I definitely have a deep sense of calling toward the pastoral ministry in the church. So what that will look like 4 years from now, where I might be, still questions that remain. But we'll see how it goes. And trust in the Lord. And it's an exciting time. It really is. And I couldn't be happier that I'm here.
And at this point, you're most interested in serving in a confessional Presbyterian church, right?
Absolutely.
Cool.
Yes.
Guys, I'm really thankful that you both joined us. I want to end on a really light note, though. Isaac, what's the most ridiculous things an American has said to you with regards to your Australian origin story here?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind, I was at the dry cleaner the other day, and you know, it's not unusual for someone to say, "Hey, where are you from? You know, where's that accent from?" And often they're not sure. And I said, "Oh, I'm from Australia." And this other guy pops up and goes, "Yes," you know, and I won't attempt an American accent here. It will make the ears of our listeners bleed. But, you know, this guy just says, "Yeah, Australia is the coolest accent in the world. It's like the English, except cool." So that was just a crack up. You know, there's been lots of classics, but that was quite good.
Yeah. Oh man, we love talking about regional accents and dialects at Greenville Seminary. Logan and I drove up together to the Banner of Truth conference this past spring. We had guy from Southern California, I think, Southern or Northern California, and then a guy from like
Greenwood, South Carolina, which is kind of out in the country. And then, you know, Logan's from Alabama and I'm from Philly. And they're like, Zach, you don't have an accent at all. And I said, oh, no, I just suppress my Philly accent. And they made me do it for them. I won't do it for you, but listeners. But we just had a good laugh about that. So it's fun to hear that your big takeaway story of ridiculous things Americans say has to do with your Australian accent. Men, thank you again for joining me. It's been a pleasure and a joy, and I'm excited for what the Lord is doing in your lives. Thank you, Zach.
Thanks, Zach.
You've been listening to a production of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. For more information about the seminary, please visit www.gpts.edu.